flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with
you
here?
You can call me Ron.
You know what that means, Bob? It's time for the Limitless Express. Hop on board, everybody. And today, I feel like, the ceremonial toastmaster, if you will.
Oh, how about that?
In that Limits is letting me lead off the proceedings, Bob, with something that him and I both uncovered. Listen, this is a trip around the NFL. It's really a trip around the sports world, the Limitless Express. And glad you could join us on Pomp and Joe. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to the Fans YouTube channel. You can see Bob's beautiful face. It don't cost nothing. Subscribe. We all know that Patrick Mahomes is good. I think that's obvious by now. But every once in a while, somebody throws out a number that just blows my mind. And Trey Wingo is the latest to have done that. Pay close attention to this number because it's phenomenal. It says it all. It's broken my heart three different times. Once they blew out the Bills, the other three Mahomes tortured them with these kinds of drives that Trey Wingo is talking about. Pay attention to this.
This was Wingo with the official CT Sports Crew.
Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL's postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter, and there was under a minute to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. These are your standard clutch moments for a football team, the do-or-die drives that win and lose critical games. Out of those 125 drives, only 40% of the time did the team on offense pull off the magic trick to get the points they needed. In other words, a touchdown or a field goal to either win the game or tie the game and send it to overtime.
Yep.
Some of these quarterbacks are really good at it, such as Tom Brady, who was 5-for-11 in those situations in the postseason, 46%. Or Drew Brees, who was 3-for-6 in his playoff career, 50%. Only one player is perfect.
Oh my
God. And that's Patrick Mahomes,
what?
Who was 7-for-7 in those situations.
That's ridiculous.
So, that's Bob, you're asking me.
Wait, what was the situation at the beginning? I didn't understand.
It was in the fourth quarter of a game,
yeah.
Down by 7 or 3, or getting to a point to tie the game.
He said down by 7 or 3. In other words,
you're
play
behind.
That again. I need to hear the beginning because I was confused. Then again, I'm easily confused.
Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL's postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter, and there was under a minute to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start.
Okay. So I got it.
But a minute left. That means you don't have any time.
It's unbelievable, Bob. It's a minute or under left, and you're down by 7 or fewer points. You have to score to tie or win the game, in other words. At least a field goal, maybe a touchdown. Brady was great at it, he said. That's 5-for-11. This dude... This monster, in a good way, and in kind of a bad way because I resent him greatly, is 7 for 7?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And I think we've seen that throughout the course of this regular season, too. They have not been an offense that's put up a whole bunch of points, but when they need it in late in games, he figures out ways to get it done. So
I've never seen anything like it. I didn't know it's seven for seven.
That's
it's mind blowing. Like 5 for 11. When I hear Breeze,
3 of 6 sounds good. That's 50%.
Well, yeah, when you hear that the league average is around 40%, 7 for 7. This is like what people said it was when I was reading some pieces after the game the other day. It's Michael Jordan just like preventing legendary players from winning because he's doing all of it himself. Patrick Ewing can't get a championship. Sorry. Hakeem Olajuwon wouldn't have gotten a championship, let alone two, if Jordan had decided not to go to baseball. Reggie Miller, sorry. Malone and Stockton.
Barkley, was he in that group?
Barkley, nope, can't get it. The Phoenix Suns would have beaten most teams that I've ever seen in my life that year that they went to the finals with Barkley and a bunch of other guys. Kevin Johnson at the point. They had every piece.
Stockton and Malone were the best 1-2 punch inside out that you could find for
and
years.
One man is keeping these people from winning, and Mahomes is doing the same. He's keeping Josh. We may go through their entire careers, Bob, and Burrow did get by him once with no Burrow, no Josh Allen, and no Lamar, and they all three of them may go down as three of the greatest 10 quarterbacks who ever lived, and one man, one vengeful, talented monster of a quarterback
with new receivers every year, it seems, and new pieces in place, but it doesn't matter because he's the one thing that remains constant. And yeah, what they're guilty of is being born the same time that he was born. And now you're in that. I drew the comparison with Tiger Woods. Same time. If you were in that era, you weren't going to win. He was number one in the world for 10 years. Nobody could beat him.
Right, and he beats you with a lot of things. You know what he beats you with the most? His brain.
Yeah.
His brain. He knows exactly where to go.
Yeah. He knows
how
when
to make
to run.
An adjustment. Yes, when to run, how to run, where to run. He's the polar opposite of Kenny Pickett. And the great quote on Kenny Pickett scrambling came from Ben, which says, you're supposed to run to daylight. He does the opposite. He runs to darkness. That's what Pickett did. Remember his reverse scrambles?
He's running into Aaron's darkness retreat.
Everything a spin move to the left.
If there was like a trap door on the field where you'd sink into like a dungeon, Pickett would have found it on his scramble.
Like underneath the ground, there's actually like a little lever that he just disappears to?
Yes.
The secret tunnels underneath the Hackershire Stadium?
I'm sorry for usurping the Limitless Express, and now we can move on with your topics.
Next up, the NFL says that the new kickoff rule worked as intended with more returns and fewer injuries.
That's just the spin room right there.
So NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Miller said today, the league wanted more returns, and Miller said that returns were up 57% year over year? What? He said he saw that the starting line advanced several yards, saw more touchdowns, we saw more dynamic kickoffs out past the 40, and we saw a lower injury rate. So all the things we hope to see with the dynamic kickoff. They need 24 teams
to
approve.
They need to change the name of it. It's not dynamic at all.
They need 24 teams to approve it to have it next year, too.
Bob, I guess I must have missed it, and I watched a lot of football. I thought it was just I thought it was just as boring as ever. I thought it was a bunch of touchbacks.
Which is the best play, quite frankly. If you just hit in the end zone, you don't have to worry about anything.
I hate to sound callous, but the injuries, I would have to see, first of all, more data on the injuries. This, to me, this whole movement to change the kickoff is a front for the NFL. Like, see, we really do care about injuries. No, you don't.
For future litigation. Look what we've done. We've protected quarterbacks. We're making sure if you get hits to the head, we take care of that. We're not going to put you in harm's way on a kickoff.
Yeah. Did you see the play with Mahomes in the playoffs where we protected him even though he didn't get hit? We're protecting these guys. Oh, by the way, anybody want to play an 18th game so we can sink our hands into more money?
18,
get out of here.
That'll happen soon. It may happen. I don't know about next year, but it's going to happen.
Next.
Yeah, I would highly doubt that it's going to be next
year. I've got one limits. Russell Wilson made the Pro Bowl. Are you proud of him, Bob?
He did make the Pro Bowl. That was up next.
The Participation Bowl.
What does that even mean? Do they play a game limits? Do they have a flag football game?
Yes.
He'll be out there in shorts throwing the ball around in an accuracy competition, maybe throw the dodgeball at people.
Can he throw a pitch out to Cordero Patterson in that game?
Maybe he'll throw a dodgeball at ceremonial coach Sean Payton. Is Sean Payton going to coach in this game?
I would like to know, and they brought this up with Whaley this morning. I think it's an interesting question. Number one, who pays that? Is it Denver or Pittsburgh, since it was the contract that Pittsburgh took from Denver, but all they took was a $1 million. The rest of it was...
Who pays what?
The incentive to make the Pro Bowl. There has to be an incentive, isn't there?
That's interesting.
So if you're... And the other thing is, if you're the fifth choice or sixth choice and everyone else backs out, do you really make the Pro Bowl? Does that really count?
No. Next.
Fox Sports rules analyst and former NFL senior VP of officiating Dean Blandino believes that Josh Allen converted the key fourth down in the AFC Championship.
Gee, thanks, Dean. So now, it's a little late now.
Dean says it. You had the whole entire CBS broadcast crew saying it. Gene Steratore saying it. If former officials are saying it, Bob, why can't something be done? I know we talked about this Monday, to just, you know, have
Let's
a laser down the line.
It. Let's replay it. Go back to the game. Have the Bills go back to Kansas City and pick up the game there.
I agree. They should replay the game from that spot.
Do three deep knee bends, get your uniform on, and come on. You got to stop us on fourth and one. That was a terrible call, terrible everything, terrible explanation. I don't understand how that works. No measurement, nothing. No comment after the game about it, nothing.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. With all the – everybody's antennas were up going into that game that the Chiefs were – benefiting greatly year after year. Like, people, conspiracy theories left and right, the phantom roughing the passer calls from the week before. And they still did it, Bob. Still somehow the Chiefs benefited from one of the most controversial calls in history. And it wasn't the call. It was the process. It was the guy at the top of the screen who was looking at Josh Allen's, the front of Josh Allen with the ball in his hands. He said first down. The guy who was looking on the other side of the field at Josh Allen's back had no view of the ball, ruled no first down, and they went with his choice. Why? Did his view and his choice take precedent? Why?
I don't know. I'm to the point now where they got to figure out ways to have a ding, 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 like tennis does when the ball goes out, hits a out of bounds line. It just, you hear it. They should have a, you know, technology do a lot of good things.
That feeds into conspiracy theories as well, because then you ask, or at least I ask, yeah, obviously, why wouldn't we do what other sports are doing and what we can do in the world in general and track objects on a grid very easily? Maybe they don't want that, Bob. Maybe they still want their referees to have a little control over things like spots. Why would they want the referees to have control over things like spots?
And they
Bob?
May also like. Why would they want that? Talking about it a week later, and it gives more attention to the league. That's all they want: PR attention.
Or do they want the Chiefs to win?
All right, you can make that statement.
Do they want Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl? Extra 20 million viewers. Is that what it would mean? I don't know.
I don't know if she's bringing in that kind of.
Neither
stuff.
Neither do I, Bob. Do you?
No.
I've had too much Diet Dr. Pepper.
What if she sings the national anthem people were conspiring about? She didn't last year. What if she does this year?
No, she shouldn't. She should recuse herself.
And enjoy it as
a
fan?
I don't know, because, yeah, she's a fan and her boyfriend's one, whatever.
I saw something else that ticked me off today about them. God, am I sick of them. I never want to see them again.
Could I interest you in Isaac Seumalo making the Pro Bowl?
Sure. Congrats to him.
Any thoughts on that?
Happy for him.
Again, though, they're down to how many people when they keep replacing people who want to drop out.
Drake May has made the Pro Bowl, Bob. Drake May.
Let me ask you something.
The guy from Baltimore made it a couple years ago.
Yeah,
he wasn't
Tyler
even
Huntley.
A starter.
All right, let me ask you this.
Pro Bowl.
Russell Wilson.
It's ridiculous.
You know, fine, he makes it, but Bo Nix didn't make it over him. Bo Nix is not in
crazy.
That game, right? He's not on the roster right now.
No,
in the Pro Bowl.
I don't think so.
How do you choose him over Bo Nix?
Who?
Russell Wilson as a replacement.
I can't even keep track of the Pro Bowl roster at this point with all the replacements.
And they didn't even interview Cliff Kingsbury. When I drink this stuff, I start going from topic to topic, Bob, and I apologize.
What are you drinking? Dr. Pepper?
Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm. Very powerful on an empty stomach.
So Burrow, Allen, and Lamar were the three quarterbacks. Russell Wilson has replaced Josh Allen in the Pro Bowl. I mean, that just doesn't sound right. and Drake May replaces Lamar Jackson in the Pro Bowl. No, like, you know, Justin Herbert, no Bo Nix, anyone like that. Like, Drake May and Russell Wilson, like, was everybody else in Cabo, like, enjoying their vacation?
Maybe they turned it down.
What's your prediction for next year's Super Bowl, Bob? Mine's Lions Ravens.
Next year?
Yeah.
I would have thought that would be a good one this year, but oh man, I have no clue. They're so early. You know, so many teams are going to change the way they do business.
Do the Ravens come back as the favorite in the AFC North? I don't see how they don't.
Yes,
of course.
And I got to believe that Cincinnati, depending on what happens with their free agent situation, they're going to be better and back to where you would expect them with Joe Burrow.
Look at this. I don't feel well, Bob. The story in The Athletic has the returning core for the Ravens. You ready for this? Lamar at quarterback, Derrick Henry and Justice Hill as your running back, Zay Flowers, Bateman, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, their whole offensive line centered by Linderbaum, young and getting older, 24 years old, Travis Jones, Rosengarten, started 14 games as a rookie. They're going to be better. Matabuike on the defensive line, Roquan Smith, Owe, who had a 10-sack season, Tavius Robinson, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, who's getting better at cornerback, Kyle Hamilton will come back with potential defensive player of the year accolades. Bob, this is a disaster.
And that's why their window was this past year and next year. After that, a lot of those contracts run out. So
their
have
window's
all these
open
guys,
as long as that guy's playing
quarterback.
Well,
yeah, it is, but you know what I'm saying. With a returning group like this, all having been through this, you got to expect them to be right back knocking on the door again next year.
Plus, I heard they're going to add Cordero Patterson. Who's their offensive coordinator again?
In Baltimore?
Yeah. Why do I forget his name?
Yeah, so do I.
They just re-signed
Todd Monken?
Yeah, Todd Monken. I'm hearing he has a special pitch play planned for Cordero. They're going to re-sign him.
And reports are saying that C.J. Stroud declined the Pro Bowl nod, and Bo Nix had a procedure that left him out.
So in other words, Russell was like the sixth choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What did
so
you just say?
So does that still count? You know, do you get bonus money for that? I guess if you get in it, you do. But
you must. Remember when the Steelers thought they were ahead of the game with the new kickoff rule by signing Cordero Patterson? Do you remember that limit?
I do, and it's like a two-year contract.
Well, that's
so we might be back.
1 year.
We outfox the rest
of the
league
is okay.
Again.
I would have been okay with 1 year. And I mean, Chris Hoke and I talked about this exact same thing when it happened. 1 year is fine. You want to see what it is? He's had a history. Good. 2 years? That seems like a lot for his age.
We outfox the rest of the league. New kickoff rule. We're going to get Cordero. Nobody else wants Kenny Pickett. We'll get Kenny Pickett before anybody else pounces.
Well, again, the chasing quarterback situation is a tough one to finally get. You got to figure out a plan to get one now. It can't be year to year a whole new quarterback crew coming in. It just can't.
One more limit, so then we got to get to the big boy. He's warming up in the bullpen.
So could there potentially be another Super Bowl blackout in New Orleans after what happened with the lights going out in the Harbaugh between San Francisco and Baltimore? Well, officials in New Orleans have confidence it won't happen again. In the New Orleans Times, the local electric supplier has replaced the equipment that caused the outage during the Super Bowl, and they've since installed LED lights, which takes less time to turn back on if there's an outage.
Bob, do you think the 49ers win that Super Bowl if that doesn't happen?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, no.
You think the Ravens would have come back
anyway? I think the
Ravens
would have come back, yeah.
I don't. Do you limits?
I do think San Francisco wins.
So do I. Do you think that Flacco, remember he joked at the end that if San Francisco had a weird kickoff and like returned it for a touchdown, like the Music City Miracle, he would have jumped off the sidelines and tackled the guy? Like who was the guy
that
in the Cotton Bowl?
Bob. Oh, yeah, the Cotton Bowl. I remember that.
They just showed the highlight on Good Morning Football because that was the only time in football history.
Yeah, it jumps off the bench. That
was the reason the topic came up is because the refs in the Commanders-Eagles games the other day, remember they said they would just award a touchdown if the Commanders kept jumping over the line? Nobody ever heard of that. So the only time in football history that we know of that happened was the tackle from the sideline in the 1954 Cotton Bowl game.
Who was it?
Dickie Meagle.
Meagle, that's the name.
Dickie Meagle. I remember there was he was running.
No,
was,
I remember the name, though. Meagle. Yeah. You don't see names like that very often.
Or Dickie is really kind of
or
uncommon.
Or Dr. Dick.
Yeah. Dickie Meagle's running down the right sidelines, Bob. And Tommy Lewis from Alabama jumps off the sidelines and tackles him. And then he sheepishly goes back to the bench, and they awarded the touchdown. Ron covered the game.
Do you remember when Tomlin did that thing in Baltimore?
Yes.
What if he had tripped him?
I think you might have seen it enacted, honest to God.
I mean, he stepped out of the way. He knew exactly where he was. But that would have been interesting to see.
Limits, have you heard of Dickie Meagle?
No.
Did you know of this play?
No.
You can look it up on YouTube, and I strongly urge you to during the following intermission.
I'll be careful searching it up.
As we get ready for the big boy. I'll be careful searching it up. Bob, when you Google Dickie, you don't know what you're going to get, right?
I suggest not doing that.
Just go Meagle. I'd go Meagle.
Yeah, I'll just keep it at that.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights, 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bob, it's a very special time of the week. Time to go to the big boy, Mark Cabali.
He definitely has that machismo.
Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. He's on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, big boy. Sorry we're a little late, but you can't be surprised by that. The thing that stood out most to the big boy in the Art Rooney II meeting with the media, what stood out the most? What was most significant?
Most significant is the PR staff provided us with water beforehand. Nice little Gatorade bottles. It was a nice little twist there, Joe. It was the only really surprise that stood out, right? I mean, I thought Art was going to come down with a little bit more of a hammer than he did, although he didn't really play all peaches and cream right there as well. So the biggest thing is I think he realizes right off the bat what wins in this league right now and where their biggest shortcoming is, and that's quarterback. He didn't have an answer for it, have how to fix it. He knows that that's the number one priority of to be able to have a winning franchise and be a franchise like the Colts, not the Colts, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, and all those good teams in the NFL right now. Then you need to have a upper echelon quarterback, and I think he realizes it, but he really hasn't really come up with, or at least he didn't detail a plan of how do you go about that, because they find themselves in a really bad situation. I truly do believe that. I mean, you're choosing one or the other, and you're not going to be able to go get one in free agency. You're not going to get one in the draft right now. You're pretty much saying it's going to be Justin or Russell, and I don't know if that's good enough to get you where you're at. I mean, you recognize the problem, but he didn't come up with any solutions of how to fix it.
Mark, I look at that, and I thought the same thing that, you know, we were talking about chasing quarterbacks, and if you don't get the one you want, how far it sets you back. Are you of the belief that, okay, assuming one of them signs, and I got to believe he has to, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this, but it sounded to me like Fields was more likely. If that's the case, do they have to draft someone in this draft or just find some free agents until next year when it appears to be more plentiful in terms of quarterback availability and guys coming out at that point in 2026 that can help you if you fall far enough and maybe get up higher in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really go into this draft thinking about using a second, maybe third day pick on a quarterback. I mean, you're talking about really wishing and hoping right there that one of those guys pan out. There's not too many Tom Brady's or Dak Prescott's in the world over the past, you know, 50 years of drafting quarterbacks. So you're almost wasting a picker unless you fall in love with somebody. Even if you do fall in love with somebody, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the pedigree has to be there. And I don't think that just to put a body in the room, a young body, is going to be something that's conducive of them finding their next quarterback. So, I mean, he did mention he wants to find a quarterback potentially in the draft, but he also said this year or next year, I would not feel forced to go find a Jalen Milroe in the third day or late second day just because he might be a guy that you're semi-interested in. I mean, that's a project on top of a project right there. And
plus, they have a lot of other needs, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, and they could get to the quarterback eventually, but if it's not available, don't force it. And I think that's what got him into trouble with Kenny.
Especially when you can find running backs in that spot. You can find defensive linemen in that spot. You can find depth players in that spot. If you're just going to take a quarterback and hope he might work out, you might as well just wait until you have a better feel for something. But, I mean, we all forget here, what happens if, you know, Russell Wilson wants to go to the Raiders? What happens if Justin Fields gets paid somewhere else? Then what do you do? You're in big trouble. So they got to get on this quarterback, one or the other, immediately. And they got to give him an offer where he says, okay, I'm not going to free agency then.
Mark, my biggest takeaway was when Art was asked about if you're closer to a championship now than a year ago, and he seemed like very hesitant to answer it. And to me, it seemed like the answer was no. Do you think they're closer than a year ago?
Probably. I mean, they're probably very similar, right? I mean, what has changed? Quarterbacks all changed over. I mean, last year at this time, you still had some hope. I'm talking about right at this time, that Kenny Pickett might have that one last opportunity to turn into that 20th overall pick. So there was still a little bit of hope there. I mean, Mason Rudolph was coming off a season where there was some promise, at least late in the season there. But you have to be very careful of reading anything Art saying right there. I mean, there's stuff that he says that he believes, then there's stuff that he says that he knows he has to say, or people like Joe Starkey will be just absolutely killed him for months for not saying or saying, no, hey, we're close. No, he can't say that we're close at this point.
I don't know how to read into that, Bob. Was that a criticism? Was the big boy taking a shot at me there?
No, I'm just saying, if he came out and said, Joe, you know, I think we're probably better off than we were last year, you would destroy him, right?
Yeah, how would they be better off than they were last
year? That's what I'm saying. So,
he cited the difference between the teams that are still involved and what they have, specifically quarterbacks and their ability to strike quickly.
Right, because the guy that he has entrusted his franchise to, who's been running the show now for a long time, Mike Tomlin, chose the wrong quarterback.
Right, and when you
chose the wrong coordinator, and instead of having him pay for that in any kind of way, even up to and including his job, Art lavished him in the year they got rid of Pickett and Canada. That he lavished him with an unusually long 3-year extension, making him one of the 5 highest paid coaches in all of sports. Big boy.
Yeah, and what do we see the last 2 days? Right in the thick of things at the Senior Bowl, scouting and evaluating.
That's right. My read on it, Mark, honestly, just being honest here, is that I think, and I can relate to this because I've lived a lot of my life in fear. I think Art is afraid. I think he's afraid of what life after Mike Tomlin would look like, what life before Chuck Knoll looked like. He's afraid of sinking into, you know, Browns territory and Jets territory, and he's just operating out of a world of fear. That's my honest take. You?
I mean, that's fair enough. That's fair enough considering, too, Joe, that he's probably near the end of his run as running this franchise. And the last thing he wants to be known for is a guy that's put together 3 or 4, 4 or 5 win seasons right now and be a guy that fires Mike Tomlin and hires a coach like, Liam Cohen or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So he might just be playing it safe as well. Another thing that I thought coming out of that meeting Monday was is how much was he saying he believed and how much was he saying that he believed that the fan base wanted to hear? I don't know if I could I don't know if I how to read Art if he was just, you know.
I don't know, man. If that was his attempt to appease the fan base, it fell flatter than any public performance I've ever seen.
Of course. I mean, saying the quarterback, of course. I mean, him saying that you need the quarterback, of course everybody's going to believe that. Him saying we're not that close, of course that's going to appease to the fan base somewhat. So he knew what to say. So I don't know if he would play games like that. Typically in these meetings, he's pretty much what he says, even though it's low key. It's pretty much what he means. Last year, he pretty much put Kenny Pickett on blast, if you recall. And a month later, he was gone. A couple years before, that's when, you know, we need to run the ball more. And they ran the ball more, but they weren't as successful. So normally what he says in at least his opening statement is what he truly does believe.
But, you know, when it comes right down to it, they have a lot of decisions, and one of them is George Pickens. So I asked him twice about that when I had a chance to talk to him, and I got the feeling that the off-the-field stuff is going to be a real big part of this discussion. How realistic is it for you to think that they will eventually move on from him, or do you think the talent is so much there that they're going to have to pay it?
Well, I think what we can do is totally cross off the list of them extending him, right?
You would cross that off immediately just because
I think you do that right now.
So you would wait until the end of that next year?
I think you let it play out. Okay. I think you have to go that route right now. You have to cover your rear end, to be honest with you. I mean, if he plays it out this season, has a good year, then so be it. Maybe you can use the tag or whatever to your advantage in the future. I don't know, but I am almost leaning the opposite way of keeping him regardless of this year, because the last thing I think you want to do is go into the season with, you know, Calvin Austin is your number one and, you know, Keenan Allen is your number two or somebody you pick up off the scrap heap right there. Unless you find somebody who is a legit wide receiver one before the draft, I don't move on from George Pickens. I don't sign him long term. But I put him out there and just, you know, pray and hope that he, you know, gets better. And for the most part, if you recall this year, that first maybe third of the season to half the season, you saw a different George. At least I did.
No, you didn't. He quit in the Cowboys game. The Cowboys game was in the first third of the season.
No, it wasn't. That was like October. That was like Halloween. Whatever. The first couple – 5-6 games, I thought he was a different guy. He carried himself a different way. Then it just switched. I mean, I think he's still extremely young. At this point, I mean, Art said it, and I do believe it. You almost have to cross your fingers and say, I hope it works out. But I wouldn't give him any guarantees. Absolutely not.
You mentioned that Art's, you know, maybe in the waning days of the guy running the Steelers, Mark. So who's next? I hear of Danny Rooney. Yeah. And does he strike you as the type who would be a little bit more freewheeling? Do you know him? What is the succession plan? And what do you know about Danny Rooney?
Oh, I think Danny's a very, very nice individual and a very smart guy. I mean, he went to Wharton Business School in Philly. He's basically been groomed for this position for years now. When I say that, it means he's pretty much been a part of every single level of the organization of the Steelers and even to the NFL. He worked in the NFL office. So he's a very smart individual. He played football, at least in college. And I think all indications, although they haven't made anything public or anything, that he would be the next guy. Now, if that's next year, 3 years, 5 years, that's to be determined. But just to get a guy in there in his 30s, you would have to imagine that he's, you know, night and day different than his father, who's in his 70s. So you would think that he would be more willing to go a different route than what his dad did, just like Art did with Dan.
Yeah, I think Dan is extremely smart, and I think he's also learning a lot here as he goes because he's gone through this. And I think ultimately, you know, he's a new breed.
What's the timeline, Bob? What do you think the timeline is?
I have no idea what the timeline is.
What do you think, Mark?
But I think he'll be more, you know, involved in evolution of the game. You know, just because he's younger, he's gone through different things. Yes. He's played the game, and I think he's, like I said, very smart, has learned a lot from the National Football League when he was there. So
Donnie Football has a theory that Art and Tomlin will go out together when Tomlin's contract is done. Is that a reasonable timeline?
I think that would be reasonable. I mean, it depends on what happens over the next couple of years. If Tomlin wins a couple of Super Bowls, then maybe that's different. But, yeah, I mean, I could see that fitting in right there. I mean, you almost give the next guy a clean slate. I mean, at that point, maybe, you know, the majority of the veterans are moved on from the organization as well, and you just let him take over at that point. I mean, you never know. I mean, when did Dan end up stepping aside? That was early, what, 03, 04 maybe, when he gave up daily operations. So I think Art's in his 70s, right, Bob?
I think he's early 70s, yeah.
So, I mean, even if, I mean, I don't think he's Jerry Jones is going to go into his 80s or you know, who's the lady
from the Bears? McCaskey, or
I don't think he's willing. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he'll be totally gone with the situation of the organization when he's there. I think he'll still be around, but the more the day-to-day stuff he would give to Danny. But once again, that could be a year from now. It could be 7 years from now.
Bob, may I engage the big boy in a game of free association?
If I said no, what would you tell me?
I'd be disappointed and do it anyway.
The answer is yes. That's
no,
why I know.
It's a courtesy. Here we go, big boy. You ready?
No.
We just had this argument in the hallway. Shady or Curtis Martin? You can combine their college careers and their pro careers. Who's the better running back?
Curtis Martin.
I disagree.
That was my point, too. The same choice. But I know you
I'm
have evidence.
I'm throwing high school in there, too.
You have
Martin.
Evidence. No,
well, did you see Shady in high school? You're throwing high school in there.
Hey, I saw Shady. He was supposed to play McKeesport in the finals of the 05 state championship, but he got hurt, and McKeesport ended up upsetting, I forget if Bishop somebody or another.
So
I almost saw Shady.
Well, let me tell you about Shady. In 2 years at Pitt, two of them, they both played on crappy Pitt teams, by the way. Shady had 3,364 yards from scrimmage and 36 total touchdowns. Martin, in parts of 4 years, great as he was, had fewer yards from scrimmage, or right around the same, I should say, 3,392, and half as many total touchdowns. Then in the pros, Curtis Martin played about 25 more starts anyway and had about 2,000 yards more from scrimmage. But Shady had two first-team All-Pros, Martin won. And then there's the eye test, and I love Curtis Martin. Like, he was great. I just think Shady's the better all-around running back. I really do.
And this has nothing to do with Shady playing for Buffalo?
It might have a little to do with that, yes.
Cut to the chase.
It might.
They're all great running backs. I mean,
here was the
The other part of this was Franco Harris, who spent half of his time blocking for Lydell Mitchell. People talk about, but he didn't have the numbers in college.
Well, the context of this conversation was Pony coming up to us and saying, who, if you include their whole careers, college pro, who would you rather have? A backfield of Franco Harris and Saquon Barkley, or Tony Dorsett and Curtis Martin? And I said, well, first I'd rather have Tony Dorsett and Shady, and I would go with the Pitt backfield, Bob. How about you? College and pros combined.
Yeah, I went to the Pitt backfield.
Over Saquon and Franco.
Yeah, because, again, I think if you're looking at the total body of work, Franco compromised some of his personal yardage to accommodate Lydell Mitchell. He was in Super Bowl success running, you're going to find Franco at the top of the list there all time.
How about you, big boy? Which backfield did you take?
I might throw Ironhead Hayward in there.
Well, which backfield would
Pitt
you take?
Pitt has had a lot of great things in running backs.
I love Ironhead.
So
man.
Has Penn State, though.
They all have.
With backfields. Who would
Ironhead
you take, big boy?
I would take the Ironhead Hayward / Tony Dorsett, because Ironhead, he had a couple decent years in the pros. It was cut, obviously, a little bit short. I just like Ironhead. I just want him in there.
We have to go. I'm sorry.
My goodness.
No, I'm getting all kinds of signals, and then I get in trouble.
Who gives me trouble? There were no signals.
There are
coming.
Signals no and signal. Stuff from the boss and everything. I'm the one who gets in trouble.
Austin, have you seen a signal?
I did not send a signal.
Sending
but he
a signal.
No signals.
What?
I sent no signal, but he does need to go. Yeah.
Thank you, Big Boy.
Oh, now when I'm on, you got to go. But you know,
meanwhile, your time was cut short, Mark, because he was late anyway. So on both ends of it, you lose.
He was late. Bob's the one who talks at the end of every segment, and I'm the one who's late.
Gosh.
See you, Big Boy. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, Big Boy.